You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Let's go for a walk. I'm sure you've heard of the Freedom Trail, but what about the Innovation Trail?
Okay, I'm over here. This is the only stop that I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to take a break and let Bob and Michael do the rest of the work. I like to simplify things, and so I think about there being like really three eras of Kendall Square and innovation. The first era is like...
So you're hearing there Scott Kirstner, who writes the Innovation Economy column for the Boston Globe. And what you're hearing there is a part of a walking tour of the new Innovation Trail, a concept that I know he's very excited to talk with us about. And he's here in Studio 2. We've never actually seen each other in person before.
It's welcome thrilling. Back. It's great. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So that sound, by the way, is courtesy of Wade Rausch, a WBUR Cognoscenti contributor. So Scott, there's been a long time making in this project for you. In prepping this segment, our producers found references to this idea all the way back to 2013. So how does it feel to have sort of a living, breathing trail out there now?
Well, your researchers did a good job. I've been writing a couple times. Every once in a while, I come back to this idea that no city in America has this multi-century history of scientific breakthroughs and technology breakthroughs. And so I've been talking about the idea of an innovation trail since about 2013, and it just had never really gotten, the ball had never really gotten rolling until last year. I think COVID was part of it. And we just put together the right group of people, and it felt like the right moment for it really to happen and actually become, I guess, a tourist attraction, a tourist activity that people can now do.
So I confess that in my previous years in, you know, here in the city, different times I've referred to Boston as America's civic incubator because I come out of the nonprofit space. But it didn't really fully hit me until I was looking through the website for this innovation trail. At one level, our identity has always been Freedom Trail, American Revolution, but we've always also understood ourselves as an innovation point, and yet we haven't manifested it to the rest of the world that way. And I know that's a heady way to say it, but it's like we're missing a key piece of our DNA and how we invite the world to engage with us, Scott.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, the Freedom Trail is a wonderful thing. It wasn't created until 1951.
Which also blew my mind.
Yeah. And so it was a newspaper columnist in the early 50s who said, hey, we have all these great historic sites related to the revolution and you know, form of freedom, you know, freedom from England. Let's knit them together with the walking trail. I do think it really set the stage for everything else that Boston was going to be. I mean, you had these educational institutions like Boston Latin School and Harvard University and MIT created in the 17th, 18th, 19th centuries. You had a lot of social freedoms, right? Women's suffrage and abolition that were saying, and immigration that were saying, hey, we want everybody to be able to participate here in Boston, start companies, do scientific research, take things out of the lab into the marketplace. And so I think that, you know, that freedom from Britain, social freedom really led us to a pretty great track record of innovation.
And that history, so I'm going to play two pieces of sound here that are going to kind of give us the scope of what you're talking about. So first, here we've got Michael Kukta, and he's talking about the Stilson wrench, which was invented in 1869, and explaining how transformative it was.
The difference between this and previous wrenches were this has a ratcheting head. It sort of swivels back and forth, and it has these sort of serrated teeth that allows it to grip onto a pipe. And if you were a plumber, this allowed you to tighten a pipe with one arm.
So now you fast forward 100 years, and we get both modern technology and intrigue, right? So this is walking through Boston and Cambridge. We've got this NASA story that you tell. I'm going to use some more sound here about how close we were to becoming a major player in the NASA world until...
The political story is kind of true, which is Massachusetts was one of the states that did not vote for Richard Nixon to be president.
The one state.
And Nixon and the Kennedys hated each other. And so he said, you know, if I have to take a NASA site away from someone, it's not going to be Houston, it's not going to be Cape Canaveral and Cocoa Beach, it's going to be this one. And so they closed the NASA site in 1970. They never build any other NASA buildings except for the one that's right there.
Okay, other than the near miss that sort of I feel right in my gut and in my heart, I mean, that's 100 years of presence in technology at the heart of Boston and Cambridge.
And when you I mean, when you look at the range of different things, I mean, you played sound related to, we invented a tool that you can still buy in every hardware store today. We did a lot of the technology development and software development to get the Apollo spacecraft safely to the moon. We solved some of the problems with Apollo 13 when things went awry there. There's so much stuff that people don't know. Candy is still made in Cambridge. We make every junior mint produced in the world right near Central Square.
Of course we do.
And then there's the story of Technicolor. So there's a lot of Technicolor was a company founded in the backyard of MIT by MIT alum who thought, gee, movies shouldn't always be in black and white. So a lot of these are stories that are forgotten. A lot of them have really interesting, you know, more diverse than you would expect people involved making these contributions. And so we really wanted to put all that stuff center stage and give people a way to experience it.
So we've got a second voice I want to bring in here. Also here in Studio 2, we have Namrita Sengupta, who is Associate Director of Scientific Public Engagement and Broad Discovery Center at the Broad Institute. The Broad Discovery Center is one of the sites on the Innovation Trail, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So how does it feel to be associated with this landscape and history of innovation and technology?
It's amazing. Last year, I became a charter catalyst of the Innovation Trail, representing Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard. And I've been having these conversations with the larger committee of Innovation Trail. And at that time, this space, Broad Discovery Center, was not installed. It has been installed as of last week. All of this time, we were just talking about, we want to be a part of this space. We want to be a part of this map, because we, along with three other museums that are all from walking distance from each other, are just so glad to be a part of the Innovation Trail of Greater Boston. So the Broad Discovery Center, we are at 415 Main Street. We are site number 14 on the Innovation Trail. Right across, like half a block away from us, is the new MIT Museum that has just reopened. And then within walking distance is the Museum of Science, and also the Massachusetts General Hospital's Russell Museum of Innovation and Medical History. I think I often speak to my friends and colleagues and collaborators in other cities and ask, like, where else in the world do you have four science museums all walking distance from each other? And so it's absolutely a great honor to be a part of the Innovation Trail of Greater Boston and this ecosystem.
You know, I feel like I should know, because like at one level, I do know. I know the Museum of Science is there. I know the MIT Museum is reopened. I actually didn't know about the Broad Discovery Center until, you know, studying up on this Innovation Trail. But we don't. We don't put that whole picture together in our heads. And what is the power of being able to take a family or a young person from one of those to the next, to the Mass General site, to the Broad Discovery Center? What do you think changes when somebody encounters that much innovation?
I think they start to see possibilities. They start to see the possibilities of both innovation and discovery. And I think that is the spirit of all of these places. All of these public engagement spaces are catering to a broad range of audiences, starting from students in K through 12 school system to even adults. And by adults, I mean those who are from the sciences and those who are also not from the sciences. And I think that is the power of this of spaces like these. So it's not just about feeling that, you know, I'm an innovator, I'm a scientist, I'm an engineer, and I'm part of this ecosystem. It's also all our community who's supporting us here in the Boston and Cambridge ecosystem that feels that they are a part of this ecosystem. And I think like that's what Innovation Trail and the four museums on the trail are trying to achieve here. Our hope is starting this fall and beyond, school groups, educators, students, people come from all over the world to attend scientific meetings, tech conferences, you know, here in Boston. I invite everyone to come walk the trail and come visit these sites, because it's also like I was joking with some of my friends, and also I've told this to Scott, that we have like friends and colleagues visiting, like some of us who are in the academia research community, we have friends and colleagues visiting, and they're like, you know, they're huge nerds, they're geeks, and they want to like go to spaces like this. They tell us like, show us MIT, show us like, what do you do at the Broad? Let us take a photo in front of Moderna. And now I'm just so excited to walk the trail with them, with all of these geeks and nerds who visit Boston. And I've just been spreading the word along with Scott that, you know, Freedom Trail has been a great part of our to bring in invite in tourists, and Innovation Trail will just kind of become a sibling trail that people will walk now.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to Todd Golub, who's the director of the Broad Institute, last week when this new Broad Discovery Center opened. Is I'm a history nerd. I've loved taking people on the Freedom Trail, but there is this whole group of people, you know, who are coming to interview for a job at Akamai or Biogen, or they're here for a cancer research conference. This is really relevant to them because it strings together these many different centuries of science, engineering, technology, space history, even pranks and hacks. You know, MIT has this exhibit that you can see that's all about the hacks, like putting the, if you're old enough, you remember the Hilltop Steakhouse cow. They stole it and put it on top of the Great Dome. So there's some fun stuff that's part of the trail, too.
So there's so much stuff I still want to get to. All right, here's where I want to start. Yesterday, we had a conversation, two people sitting in the two seats that you're sitting in now, about the new Bob Moses Math Trail in the Port neighborhood of Cambridge, which is designed to help young kids and families love and embrace and develop a sense of ownership and facility of math. And we were talking about the fact that it can seem like miles away to a Kendall Square, right, for the kids. I imagine now the power of a child, Scott, coming through the math trail, the Bob Moses math trail at 4, 5, 6, developing a love of math, and then being able to walk this innovation trail and see all the ways they could turn that into technology and future and what comes next.
Yeah, exactly. I just heard about the math trail a couple weeks ago, so I guess it's trail week here on Radio Boston.
It is.
I love the idea. And yeah, you could take math. I mean, Akamai is a now publicly traded company that is based on math, right? It was a math professor at MIT who co-founded it. It's all about algorithms for more efficiently getting internet content and getting data from place to place. And so I do think, you know, math is obviously one of those building blocks, like chemistry, like biology, that we here in the Boston area, like, we know how to turn that into companies. And more importantly, we know how to get these breakthroughs out to the world, whether it's something like Technicolor, or we haven't even talked about the telephone. I mean, we're here on the Boston University campus. Alexander Graham Bell was teaching at BU when he invented the telephone, like, pretty high impact invention.
And you know, by the way, that there are a ton of people out there listening right now who are going to say, wait, what? Right, probably didn't even know. So one of the other things, Scott, I'm stay with you for a second longer, that Namrita brought up that I want to emphasize. You talked about being was it a catalyst, right?
Yes.
A catalyst, which is part of this community of people that you turn to. That was striking to me, right? Because you think about Miles Howard's urban hiking trail that he's developed here in Boston, one guy. But you reached out to more than a dozen people and organizations to start this. I mean, I think about Bob Krim, who helped you do this, author in Framingham, State University professor. He had done a bunch of these firsts. He did a book on it. We talked about ICE, you know, the person who figured out how to ship ICE. Why take so many people into the fold to build something like this? Why not just put a bunch of spots on a map?
I mean, in short, just because there were a lot of people who felt like something like this should happen, you know, at Mass General, at the Broad, at MIT, at CIC, Cambridge Innovation Center. And so honestly, it was last summer, August 2021, that we got people together. We basically sat around the Cambridge Brewing Company having a round of beers on a really hot day and talked about, you know, what this should be. And just the vibe was this group of people. I mean, I'm just one lone journalist. I'd written about it a couple times, as you mentioned, and nothing really had coalesced. And so I was like, well, maybe if we buy people a round of beers and walk a couple of the stops. It was a really hot day, but we did, just to show how walkable it was, we walked some of them. And yeah, everyone around the table said, why doesn't something like this exist? And they were willing to help make it happen.
You're running a tour this Saturday. Tell us about that.
Well,
October 8th.
October 8th is part of the Cambridge Science Festival. There's a great company in Cambridge called Cambridge Historical Tours that's now kind of an official partner of the Innovation Trail when people actually want to go out and walk it with a conference group or a corporate group or a student group. And yeah, we think that the trail kind of has these two lives. You can just go to the website and walk it yourself and look at lots of videos and see the maps and listen to some audio, or you can walk it as a guided tour. And so we're just starting to get momentum on how many guided tours do people want to happen. But it's really a great way to bring it to life and see it with someone who knows about all this history.
We'll have more information on how to sign up for that on our website, radioboston.org. Like in 10 seconds, Namreta, your favorite place besides the Broad Discovery Center on the tour?
I would say MIT Museum.
Which has just reopened in new space.
It's just reopened, and they have some amazing exhibits. Their life science and AI exhibits have already blown my mind. So I would invite people to come visit both Broad Discovery Center and the MIT Museum this week at the Cambridge Science Festival.
Perfect.
Come and preview all the exhibits.
Perfect. All right, that is Namrata Sengupta, Associate Director of Scientific Public Engagement and Broad Discovery Center at the Broad Institute, and Scott Kirstner, Boston Globe contributor, Trail co-designer, and first time here in Studio 2 since the start of the pandemic. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks so much.